Замуду Прешна Ура после.
Могоче ще един мальчик свари тук и кей се види на от летала на Радхи. Пази ти трябва един мальчик, ще имаме тук така, по-честно летала, весима не имаме на цесно тук, не? По-честно за Дейва, не? Не, ампак, туди летало за пропелери има един пъща, ки се зелу хитро върти, не? И ти се чуя пропелер по летала, не? So even a small, a slow propeller aircraft has a very fast turning propeller, as long as the engine. In ta hitrost je približno velikost, razred 80% hitrost zvoka. So the speed of a propeller, tip for aerodynamic reasons should be around 80% of the speed of sound. So if you have a slow propeller driven aircraft like a Cessna, what the radar actually sees is the propeller, not the aircraft. The same for a helicopter. Isto za helikopter, tu če imate helikopter, ne? Na helikopterju imate stvari, ki se hitro vrtijo, ne? In sicer je glavni rotor helikopterja in je stranski rotor, ne? Tukaj so tudi hitrosti v velikostnem razredu, 80% hitrosti. So even in the case of a helicopter, it's the same problem. The helicopter itself may be stationary, may be hovering somewhere in space, but it's the tips of its blade, for aerodynamic reasons, should reach about 70% to 80% of the speed of sound. So also the helicopter is something very well visible on radar. What you cannot see on radar is a carnamusta bit na radio solo. Baloni na broj zrak so jadralna letalost. So hot air balloons cannot be seen on the radar. Also glider aircraft are very difficult to see on the radar because they have no fast moving aircraft and the glider aircraft is usually slow. Less than 100 km per hour. Less than 30 meters per second. Jadralno letalo je lahko zelo, zelo počasna stvar. No? Tisto, kar ste verjetno vi dosti bolj vajeni z radarjem, je preprost radar za mjeriti hitrost vozil, ne? Pravi, radar, ki mjeri hitrost vašega auta, tukaj, ne? In ta radar ima lahko zelo preprost oddajnik, ne? Oddajnik, ki daje na anteno velikost na razred moči kume 10 mW. So, radar for measuring the speed of the car has a very low power transmitter, just 10 milliwatts. May have two separate antennas. And on the receiving side, there's just a multiplier, so a mixer. Here, through a coupler, we get part of the transmitter power for the local oscillator. And if this is the frequency of the transmitter, this is the frequency of the receiver. After here, a low-pass filter. We get just the difference in frequency. So this is the frequency of the receiver minus the frequency of the transmitter. Dobimo samo razliko obeh frekvenc na preprost način. Za mešalnikom v sprejemniku, pravi, množimo ta dva signala, frekvenco oddajnika, frekvenco sprejemnika. Rezultati množenja so vsota pa razlika frekvenc. Pogledamo samo razliko frekvenc in zmerimo lahko hitrost avtomobila. Te stvari tukaj so moči zelo majhne. Pri Dopplerjem radarju je tu 10 mW, se pravi, ali za mirjenje hitrosti avtomobila, ali pa radari, kot imate preproste, da se odpirajo vrata. So, this may be even a radar designed to detect moving people to automatically open the door of a grocery store. So, this is the way such radars are. But in air traffic, the primary radar is something, da bo rečemo tudi primarni radar. Primarni radar je nekaj, kar v civilnem letalstvu ni glih najbolj uporabna stvar. Ne? Zaradi tega, ker je težko ločiti letalo od naravnih ovir, tukaj še posebno, če leti nizko, pa če leti počasi. So a primary radar has serious difficulties in separating real targets from natural obstacles, especially if the targets are small and if they try to fly low. But nevertheless, slow and low flying targets may be dangerous. So at least in civil aviation, there are other solutions to detect aircraft. Se pravi, uporabljamo drugačne načine, ne? In stvar, kar vaše letalo skoraj da mora imeti, če hočete z njim v civilen zračni prostor, ali tudi v civilnem zračnem prometu, mora imeti radarski odzivnik. Ne? No, radarski odzivnik ima načeloma zelo malo zveze z radarjem, gre praktično z radijsko zvezo. Ne? Bom zdaj tukaj narisal, kako radarski odzivnik. So, in civil aviation, using a primary radar that can detect any target, non-cooperating, passive, totally passive target, just due to its radar cross-section, that's very unreliable. Air traffic control could not work with such a radar. In civil aviation, it's much more important to have a secondary radar. Kjer sekundarni radar ima obdajnik, ki dela na frekvenci 1030 MHz. Tu gre na obdajno anteno, dobro. Lahko je tukaj še kretnica, ne? So there may be a filter in between to have also the receiver here. But on the antenna we transmit at 130 MHz. We transmit an interrogation. Gre na frekvenci 1030 MHz. In odgovor od letala the reply from the aircraft goes at 1090 MHz. Letalo, jasno, tukaj vr, so our aircraft has to be equipped with a receiver, with some device that generates the reply, and with a transmitter. Receiver at 1030, transmitter at 1090 MHz. No, in tukaj na letalu imamo odzivnik, so the aircraft has to be equipped with a transponder. Ta tehnika je, tukaj moram povedati, zelo stara. Ne? Frekvenca sprejemnika tukaj v radarju je 1090 MHz. Tehnika je ta stara in izvira že iz časov druge svetovne vojne. Ne? V drugi svetovni vojni največja težava je tudi protiletalska obramba se strelila lastno letalo. Ne? Friendly fire. Ne? So, the system dates back to the Second World War, where the air defense usually shut down the own plane. In zaradi tega so naredili tako imenovan identification friend of foe. Identification friend of foe. In današnji radarski odzivnik izvirajo iz teh tipov bojev iz druge svetovne vojne. So our transponders we are using today, they are still using similar techniques as the identification of friend of foe in the Second World War. No, v drugi svetovni vojni so uporabljali, kar danes kličemo mode A, ne? Mode A, in tu je vprašanje, se stoji iz dveh impulzov na razdalji 8 mikrosekund. So, mode A interrogation has two pulses separated by 8 microseconds. The reply to mode A odgovor ima tam od 2 do
15 impulzov. Paketek, ne?
In tukaj notri od teh od 2 do 15 impulzov se skriva 12 bitna koda letala. 12 plus, bis plus en id bit še, ne? So, the reply from the aircraft contains from 2 to 15 pulses. At least 2 pulses are always present. This is the framing pulses. Then there may be 12 bits of coded information. And that 12 bits is the squawk code of the aircraft. The controller instructs the pilot to turn that squawk code on his transponder on his aircraft. Se pravi, teh 12 bitkov je številka, ki jo mora pilot nastaviti, kako reče kontrola letenja, tako da bo kontrola letenja sledila tu letalu na, na radarju pod tisto številko, ne? V civilne zračne planete. No in tu je tehnika druge svetovne vojne, to je IFF iz druge svetovne vojne. Ne? Kar je zanimivo, v druge svetovne vojni Nemci so se streljili en kup letečih trdnav, im je en kup teh odzivnikov padlo v roke, ampak niso nikoli pohruntali, kako delajo. Ne? Ker če bi pohruntali, kako delijo, bi lahko bombardirali Angleže, kadarkoli bi hodili. So, the interesting thing is that many of these transponders, Mode A, from the Second World War, many American flying fortresses were shut down over Germany. Germans got these transponders in their hands, but they never figured out how do they work. Because if they figured how do they work, they could bomb London whenever they wanted. Because they would disguise as British place, not as German place. But they didn't know that in the Second World War. Kar je danes težava takšnega odzivnika mode A, je ta, da jaz lahko dobim zelo točno razdaljo. So the distance is okay, ne? Zelo točno razdaljo dobim do letala, ne? Zato ker merim čas, ne? To je timing, ne? I measure the time travel from the aircraft and reply back. The delay here should be 3 microseconds. The delay should be 3 microseconds, so everything is known. From the delay of the signal, I get the distance to the aircraft. I get very well the bearing. Se pravi, azimut. Ga dobim iz smernega diagrama moje antene, ne? Se pravi, ta smerni diagram tukaj od moje radarske antene. So, my radar antenna gets very well the bearing, so it's not that accurate as the distance, but it's still okay. Ampak višina je pa problem. That is a problem in the... This doesn't work. Se pravi, ne moremo mi, antena ima toliko širok smerni diagram, da ne moremo ugotoviti, kako visoko leti letalo. So, the radar antenna has such a broad beam, that for the bearing this is okay, but not for the altitude. For the altitude angles are very small, we cannot measure them with the radar antenna. So, still air traffic control cannot work this way. Še zmerem, kontrola letenja ne more delati na tak način. No, in na kakšen način deluje kontrola letenja danes? Na ta način, da daste tako imenovano mode C vprašanje, ki ima 2 pulza na razdalji 21 mikrosekund. Ne? Odgovor je od 2 vse do 13 impulzov. So the mode C reply has between 2 and 13 pulses, and this reply contains 11 bits of altitude. In 2 tlačna, se pravi pressure. The aircraft has a pressure sensor and transmits that information out of a pressure sensor. Letalo leti na tlačni ploski, meri tlak, na velikih višinah se zmera leti po tlačnih ploskah, meri tlak in oddaja to tlačno ploskov nazaj radarju. Ne, se pravi, radar vpraša letalo za višino in letalo odgovori z višino, ki jo on izmeri. Ne? So the radar interrogates the aircraft about its altitude, and the aircraft measures its altitude with a pressure sensor and broadcasts back that altitude to the radar. So this really has little to do with radars. This is just a conventional data link. Tu nie ma nic do mene zwiedza z radary, preprost podatkowny prenos, zelu preprost. Kaj je tukaj nevarno, ne? Je tu, da če se dajalnik tlaka gor pokvari, ne? Bo kontrola letenja dobila napačno višino. So, the problem here is, if the pressure sensor here fails, even the flight control will get the wrong altitude of the aircraft. Kaj se je zgodilo praktično? Praktično se mislim, da se je zgodilo v Egiptu tudi. So prali letalo, pa so od prtinco, od vseh tlačnih senzorov, statični port, so prelepili lepilni trak čez. Ne? In so lepilni trak pozabili odstraniti. Ne? In potem so vsi višinomiri v letalu kazali na robe, vključno z radarskim odzivnikom. In še kontrola letenja je rekla letalu, vse ste visoko, vse lahko letiste, v resnici so končali goro. So I think this happened in Egypt many years ago, that they washed the plane. And they forgot, to avoid water entering in the static port, so the connection to the pressure sensors, they put sticky tapes on it. And they forgot to remove the sticky tape from the pressure sensor. So all pressure sensors were giving the wrong information. So the pilot had the wrong information about the altitude, and also the flight control had the wrong information on the radar, and the crash in the mountain afterwards. Kar se počne danes, ne, se je sistem še en malo razvil in sicer danes so vprašanja, tako je imena selektivna vprašanja MODES. So today we have a selective system called MODES that transmits interrogation that have either 65 bits or 112 bits. And also the reply MODES has or 56 bits or 112 bits of information. Kar mode S omogoča je, da ima 24-biten naslov. So mode S has 24 bits address that is assigned to the aircraft. That are never changed. Se pravi, te 24 bitov, ki se jih dodeli letalu, je fiksno določenih, tako da ni treba pilotu vsakrat nove skok kode nastavljati tiste kode za odgovor. Pač pa, 24 bitov obstaja mednarodni seznam, kje so letala, kakšne te kode imajo. Ne? Letala posamezna. Ne? Tako da v mode S načinu lahko radar naslovi vprašanje na določeno letalo in dobi samo od tistega letala odgovor. So, mode S has the advantage that the radar can address a single aircraft and get the reply only from that aircraft. This is important for congested regions of air traffic, where the radar may pick up at the same time replies from different aircraft. So, they pick up garbage. Takšen radar, ki vprašuje recimo mode A ali mode C, vprašuje vsa letala hkrati, ja tak bo dobil nazaj odgovor, od več letala hkrati se bo, če se ti odgovori prekrivajo, je tisto neuporabno. Ne? Mode S tu omogoča, da se selektivno naslavlja letala. Ne? No, tudi mode S ni nov. Mode S je, razvili so ga 40 let nazaj. Even mode S is quite old technology. It was developed 40 years ago. And it started being used about 10 years ago. Pred 10 leti so začeli te stvari v civilnem letalstvu uporabljati tudi. Ne? Vse iste frekvence. Iste frekvence iz druge svetovne vojne. So all, everything works on the same frequency pair, dating back to the Second World War, to the identification friend or foe, from the Second World. Everything dates back to the Second World War. Civil aviation is very slow adapting anything new. Kako?
Če se odgovor pokvar, če ne.
Ja, treba več odgovor sprijeti. Radar pošle več vprašanj, pa primerja, a je dobil isto. Ne? To je ena možnost. Druga možnost je mode S, ima tudi 24-biten CRC. Ne? Tako da tam se da tudi nekaj, ampak ta 24-liter CRC je ponavadi XOR z naslovom letala, tako da tam ga ni ravno lahko dobiti. Ampak z tega CRC-ja se da, mislim, da celo en bitek se da popraviti. 24-bitna koda, CRC 24-liter je dovolj dolg, da je log dela, kot ECC, da lahko en bitek v sporočilu pokvari. So, the mode S, they ask what happens if the reply gets corrupted. If the reply gets corrected, the reader has to transmit yet another interrogation. In mode S has a 24-bit CRC at the end of the packets, either 56 bits or 112 bits, and that CRC can be used to detect error and even to correct one single error in the message. This can be done. While mode A and mode C have no provision for no corrections. Mode A. So, zdaj, kar je pomembno tukaj pri teh stvarih, je, da tukaj moč oddajnika je zelo nizka. Ne? So, the transmitter power, because this is just a simple radio link, the transmitter power is very low. The power of the transmitter here, power of the radar, is only 1.5 kilowatts peak. This means about 1 watt average. Very small power. And also the transponder on board the aircraft has the power of the transponder. Is around 500 watts peak. That's 0.5 watts average. Very low power. So these things can work at really low power. Test very delivery zelo niskimi močmi na prav primarnem radarju. So compared to the primary radar, the secondary radar being just a conventional radio link, can work with line of sight, in line of sight conditions, se pravi, tukaj delujemo v vidnem področju, ne, log delujejo te stvari z zelo nizkimi močmi, ne, poprečne moči so tukaj zelo majhne, ne. Tudi, da so poprečne moči majhne, omogoča tudi, da imate še drugo letalo, ki ima noter pa svoj mali radar, ki ima oddajnik na 1030 in sprejemnik na 1090, pa tukaj ima eno elektroniko, ne? So, these low powers allow radars to be installed even on the aircraft. So, the aircraft can transmit an interrogation and wait for a reply. So, test v temu se reče PICAS, vprašanje, in PICAS odgovor. So, the device is called traffic alert, collision, avoidance, system. Se pravi, radar lahko, mi lahko imamo en majhen radar, ki ima omejeno zmogljivost, tudi na druga letala. Ne? In na ta način lahko druga letala ugotovijo, kje so, brez da bi se sploh vprašala kontrolo letenja. Ne? Se pravi, TICAS lahko ugotavlja prisotnost drugih letal in se lahko letala sama izogiblja. So, TICAS can, is a small radar, small secondary radar, installed on board on the aircraft. TICAS is able to interrogate other aircraft, although at a smaller range, z manjšim dometom. Tukaj je domet lahko približno 300, nautičnih mil. So the radar can have a range of 300 nautical miles, while TICAS only has a range of about 30 nautical miles. About 50 kilometers, 500 kilometers versus 50 kilometers. So it has a smaller range, but for collision avoidance it's important to have the data from the close by aircraft. Z izogibanje trčenjem je treba imeti vprašanje blizu in tudi tukaj je lahko oddajnik male moči razmeroma na letalo. Ne, ni treba kakšne silne zadeve. Pa ta stvar lahko zelo koristna. Ne? No in TICAS, kar ima, ima dva različna načina delovanja. TICAS 1. Ta vam da traffic advisory. Traffic advisory, ki potrebuje za svoje delovanje mode C. So, to get traffic advisory with TICAS 1, it's enough that this aircraft here has a mode C transponder. Mode C transponder to see accurately its altitude. Avoidance in aviation is always according to the altitude, because altitude is the best known parameter. Višina leta je najbolj znan, najbolj točno znan parametar, tlačna višina, ne? In zaradi tega se zmeraj izogibamo na osnovi višine. Ne? Zaradi tega mode C mora delati odzivnik tukaj v tem letalu. Naslednji korak je TCAS 2, ki lahko daže resolution advisory. In potrebuje pa MODES. So TCAS 2 can provide resolution advisory, not just that there is traffic, but also how to avoid that traffic. TCAS 2 requires a data link between the two aircraft, so that the computers of the aircraft decide which aircraft is going to climb and which aircraft is going to descend, to avoid the collision. Still, both TCAS work mainly on altitude. There are discussions about TCAS 3 that should also use the bearing information, but the bearing information is not accurate. So, TCAS 3 bi moral dati tudi podatek o smeri, ampak podatek o smeri je zelo težko dobiti, ker je ta antena na letalu majhna in so tukaj napake o smeri grozljive. Tako da TCAS 3 je še vprašljiv pogled. Zaenkrat, kar je potrebno, kar greste v civilen zračen promet v Evropi, se pravi, če greste v potniški promet v Evropi, so, if you want to fly in the civil traffic in Europe, airlines, you must have TCAS 2, it's mandatory equipment, on board any aircraft. Dobro, toliko nam je ostalo, zdaj še zatihovajo, imamo čas. So, we still have some time left for